presents Hollywood. The Lux Radio Theater brings you Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Ginny Sims in The Road to Morocco. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille. Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. All a producer needs to guarantee a smashing success at the box office these days is faith, hope, and Crosby. And our faith is considerably strengthened tonight by the addition of Ginny Sims. Bing and Bob hit the jackpot for Paramount with that epic drama of music and mirth called The Road to Morocco. And believe me, there's nothing wrong with your morale that The Road to Morocco won't cure. If you've seen the picture three or four times, like most people, you know that any resemblance of two characters in this play to a couple of living persons is no coincidence. They are really Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. The Road to Morocco comes pretty close to setting a record for the number of people who've asked us to present it. Since the Paramount picture came out, I've lost count of all the letters you've sent enclosing Lux toilet soap wrappers as your tickets to this play, if we could get it. Along with his soap wrappers, one man offered me a personal bribe of a porterhouse steak. Well, this is one theater where you don't have to pay to get in. It's our way of showing you that we appreciate the support you've given our product. The result is that you win two ways. You get a hit play like The Road to Morocco and a hit product like Lux Toilet Soap. You can't beat that for a double bill. Now we're off on The Road to Morocco, starring Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Ginny Sims.
Busted
off the coast of Africa by a series of mysterious explosions.
All hands are safe at the cabin
wall
with the exception of two unidentified stowaways.
Just a minute, Lou. All right, that's enough music. Hold it. Hold the music. Ladies and gentlemen, we aren't going to set a scene for tonight's play, for those two unidentified stowaways have been found. They're right here in the theater with us. These two boys are cousins, Jeff and Orville Peters. They went through this experience together, and we're going to hear about it in their own words. Orville Peters, will you tell us, please, about the time you spent on that raft after the shipwreck?
48 days in a raft. 48 days under the broiling sun without food and water. 48 days.
What do you mean, 48 days? It was 48 hours. We had plenty of water.
Now, just a minute, Jeff.
What are you trying to do, get a four-page spread in life or something?
48 days. Listen, who's telling this story?
We're both telling this. You heard what the man said? The man said we're both supposed to tell us.
Well, the man asked me to start, didn't he?
All right. You get it straight.
All right. 48 hours in a raft.
Better.
48 hours drifting helplessly on the sea. Oh, I didn't care about myself. Well, it was my cousin Jeff I was worried about.
Oh, isn't this awful? Listen to him.
Jeff was all on edge. It got to the point where he was biting my fingernails. Cut it out. Will you, Jeff? Cut it out. Cut out that whistling. I can't stand it anymore.
Yeah, now. Yeah, what's the matter, son?
Whistling, whistling, all the time whistling. Your mother must have been frightened by a tea kettle.
Now, Orville, take it easy.
Take it easy, he says. Look at us, two on a raft, sunny side up. I'll tell you how to get home, you said. We're stowed away, you said. No, sir, I said. Don't be a sap, you said. No, sir, I said. We're stowing away on that back, you said. No, sir, I said.
Yeah, such a yeah, such a yeah, such a yeah. What a brilliant conversationalist you are.
Yeah, I took one look at that seagoing crate and I knew it would blow up in our faces.
Wait till they find out who was smoking in the powder room.
Never mind that. Now look at us. Food gone. Nothing to eat.
Hey, what's that bulge in your pocket there?
Huh? Oh, that bulge? Oh, that's just a little.
Yeah, what is it? Come on, let's see. Come on, reach.
Well, I tell you, Tony. Well, what do you know? Look.
Yeah, well, what do you know? Two biscuits. Holding that on me, huh?
Well, I was going to wait for your birthday and put a candle on yours.
You don't mind if I bite into my portion, do you?
No, go on, bite. What do I care?
Thank you, Turkey.
You can spit your teeth right over here next to mine.
Like biting into a blockbuster. Well, Turkey, we got to face it. We may be days and days and days without seeing ship or land.
We're going to get hungry. I say hungry.
What do you mean, get hungry? When we started, this raft was 9 feet long.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll toss the corn. You ready?
Go ahead, toss.
Here we go. Now, Turkey, you call it. What's the date on the nickel?
1910.
You're right, 1910. But what month?
June.
That's pretty close.
It's July. Well, that's the way it goes. Somebody loses, somebody wins. Okay, so you win the nickel. See if you can find any white meat on that buffalo.
Turkey, old man, I have a TL for you. We talked for something much deeper than that.
Yeah?
I remember a story once about two fellas like us, castaways and hungry. They tossed a coin, too.
Uh-huh.
And the fellow who survived used to tell his grandchildren about his pal's sacrifice.
Hey, that's what... Hey, wait a minute. What pal's sacrifice?
I don't know, though. You're all blubber. Not much meat.
You wouldn't make a good-sized patty, Fatty. You mean you... Yes, you're losing your buttons. You mean you'd eat me without ketchup? Don't do it, Jeff. There must be an easier way to get on We the People.
Calm down. Now, calm down, Junior. I'm not going to do anything right away. I might not do anything for a week or so. Not until I get desperate.
Hey, Jeff, listen. You wouldn't like me once I bit my tongue and I tasted awful. Help, Jeff. Don't. Help.
Turkey,
Jeff.
Look.
Huh?
Look over there. Am I seeing things?
What's the matter?
Look. It's land.
Land?
Land.
Woo-hoo.
We're saved. We're saved.
Yeah, there was land. We jumped off the raft and started to swim to shore. But Jeff was weak and he couldn't make it.
Who was weak? Who was this?
So I put my arm around his waist. I just made it. And started to swim with one hand. Boy, I saved his life that day.
Oh, brother, get this.
I pulled him up on the beach. He was all in, unconscious. I started to work over him. I worked for hours.
Come on, Turkey. Turkey. Come on, open your eyes. Open up, Junior. You'll be all right. Come on, boy. Come on, boy.
Oh.
Come on now.
Oh.
Come on.
Gee, this is a switch, me getting slapped by a man. Hey, what happened?
You tried to save me, Junior. Come on now. That's a big boy. That's...
Oh, stop slapping me. I'm conscious now, ain't I?
It's hard to tell with you.
Yeah, fine pal you are. All I hope is that Aunt Lucy's looking down from above and seeing the way you're treating me lately.
Oh, you're going to start stuffing Aunt Lucy down my throat again?
Yeah, well, never mind. She saw you tossing that coin and licking your chops. You're certainly sloughing off your promise to her. Aunt Lucy, boy, I can see her now lying there in her dying bed, looking at you with those big, trusting eyes. Before I go, Jeff, promise me you'll always be a friend to little Orville, she said. No matter what happens, you'll never leave the little jerk, she said. Promise me.
Yeah, and then she up and died before I had a chance to say no.
Jeff, don't.
What's the matter with you?
Boy, I only hope she didn't hear that. You know, the dead have a way of coming back.
Ah, get out. When they're dead, they're dead.
Not Aunt Lucy. She was a Republican. She was such a good Republican, she had her will chiseled on a Wilkie button.
Okay, Junior, okay. What we got to do now is find out where we are, hmm? Is that right?
Right.
Let's see. Oh, look. It's a signpost.
Hey, see what it says. The road to Morocco.
Morocco, 74 miles.
Last chance for gas and oil. Fill up at Flanagan's. And keep to the right to let Rommel by. Hey, what do you know? Listen, you hear something?
I didn't hear nothing.
Listen. There.
You catching up a cold, Junior?
I didn't do that. It came from way over there, behind that sand dune.
Well, jumped up Jehoshaphat. Look at that.
It's a horse.
A horse? Oh, did you ever hear of a horse with a long neck and two great big bumps on his back?
Leaving yourself open, aren't you, Dad?
Don't be silly. That's a camel. That's a ship of the desert, and right now we're going sailing. Come on, get up on that camel, Junior.
Okay, where do I sit?
In that rumble seat. I'm going to steer.
Boy, what a ride. This is the first time I ever did the rumble seat.
Get up there. Come on, Bill. Hang on, Junior.
We're off on the road to Morocco. This taxi is tough on the spine. Where we're going, why we're going, we'll know by and by. If we'll meet Jimmy Finn, or we'll know the reason why.
What's your tempo?
Hang on till the end of the line. I hear this country's where they do the dance of the seven veils. We tell you more, but we would have the censor on our tail. We certainly do get around. Like Webster's Dictionary, we're Morocco bound. On the road to Morocco.
Look out,
we're clear to work, cause here we come. The many fires sleep on nails and saw their wives
loving heart. Seems to me there should be easier ways to get a laugh. We're off on the road to Morocco, and somewhere I feel kind of numb. For any villains we might meet, we haven't any fears. Paramount will protect us, cause we're signed for 5 more years. We certainly do get around. Like a complete set of Shakespeare that you buy in a corner drugstore for $1.98. We're Morocco bound. Or like a volume of all kind that you buy in the cotton store Christmas time for your cousin Julia. We're Morocco bound. Just at sundown at the great little Moroccan city of
Bam-da-bam-da-da-da-da-da. Put some chewing gum for here. Here, what are you trying to do?
What are you trying to do?
Well, it's my turn to tell the story now.
Well,
I'll be good, too.
No, all right, you won't be good.
Well, we arrived just at sundown.
You can read all the lines.
You just let me start, yes. Standing there looking out the window, the quaint little Moroccan city of Karamis. We stood in the crowded marketplace watching the hawkers vending their wares and the native rug peddlers ruddling their pegs.
See what I mean?
Everything was serene, and then the gates of the town were flung open, and 20 horsemen came riding into town. This occasioned a slight flurry of excitement.
Orville! Orville, where are you?
Right over here behind these goose pebbles.
Well, I reckon there's been some sort of a shooting ruckus down at the Buckeye Saloon, huh?
Yeah, I ain't looking for trouble, partner, but if trouble comes to looking for me, I'm going to be mighty hard to find, I tell you.
Wonder what it was all about.
Let's ask somebody. Let's ask that fellow there.
Yeah, why don't we? Hey, you there. What's the excitement, Grandpère? Who are those fellows?
He is Moulay Kassim, the desert chief.
Well, what's he so excited about? Did he hear from his draft board?
He loves the Princess Shalimar of Karamis. He's come here to ask her to marry him.
Must be a Donnybrook when he comes for a divorce, huh?
So long, Grandpère. Say, Jeff, I'm hungry. I wonder if you can get a hand out in this burg.
Place looks like it's loaded with food. Look at there.
Is there something to eat, please? Nice cutlets, figs and dates, and meat pies?
Oh, no, thanks. We ate only 4 days ago.
But could we just hang around and reminisce? Boy, look at that food. I wish I had my drool cup with me.
Ah, good evening, brother.
I have some of those. A little of that, and some of those.
Hey, take all you want, my friend, all you want.
Money! Money?
No money. Take all you need, my friend.
Too much of that cheese, I know.
What is this? Free cold cuts around here, everything on the house?
Boy, that USO really gets around, doesn't it? Well, what are we waiting for? I'll take a meat pie. Have one on me, Jeff.
Sure, everybody grab.
Take the hands off the food.
Ow! The idea, the other fellow did it. Why can't we?
He is not sane. To us, such unfortunate ones are sacred. Everything is free to the dim-witted.
Well, my friend here isn't exactly John Kieran.
Hey, I don't think that's fair.
Hey, wait, come over here, Turkey. Come here.
Hey, can you imagine that? Just because a guy's got a loose bolt, he don't need a ration stamp.
Come on, now, stop wrapping your rack and come over here. Look at me. Let me see. Look at me.
Look at that.
Yeah, you'll do fine. All right.
Hey, what's the idea of casing me like that, huh?
Turkey, from now on, you're sacred.
What do you mean, sacred?
You just became a full-blooded American idiot.
Oh, no. You do it. Who's going to believe I'm an idiot?
With the head start you got? Now, all you got to do is go into a shop, you put on that silly look, and you talk like this. Now, watch. You do like this.
Hmm?
I'll take some of those, and I want some of those, and I'll take some of those, and I want some of those.
Let me have that flow.
You like this? I'll take some of those, and I want some of those, and some of those, and some of those, and I want some of those.
You feel all right, Daddy? Let me hear you do it. Come on, I want to hear you.
I'll take some of those, and some of those, eh? And give me some of those over downtown.
Oh, you're a pro. First shop we went to, the guy will probably load us. He'll throw in his daughter and everything. Come on.
His daughter?
Sure.
I'll take some of those, and some of those.
Wait a minute now. Wait. Don't overstrain here.
There's a likely-looking guy.
Come on in. Come on. Don't forget. Lay it on good and thick. Figures, here comes the money.
Well, gentlemen, what thing I don't think you have?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Tell him.
Oh.
Well, I want some of those. And some of those. son, you know, making fun of me. How you doing, eh? Well, why I've known you?
Because I can't help it. I'm an idiot. I'm taken.
So you see, I'm an idiot too, eh?
Well, if you think you're an idiot, I'm not going to argue with you because I...
What's that?
Now, wait a minute. Perfectly normal. Something had happened to my cousin Orville. I could see that probably such a season. We went into a cafe nearby and we ordered up a feast. Didn't have any money, but this was no time to quibble. As we sat there eating, we noticed the manager showing a customer the door.
What was the trouble there?
The trouble?
Yeah.
He was one Kolak short in his bill. I'll kill him.
He's dainty, isn't he? One Kolak short? Jeff, how much is a Kolak?
Well, it's less than a cent and a half.
You mean they'd murder a guy for a cent and a half? Listen, how do you figure on paying for all this stuff?
What's the matter? You're scared? You got red blood, ain't you?
Yeah, but I don't want to get it all over strangers.
Eat up. Have a good time. Fling me one of those fillets over there, will you? Forget about it.
Hey.
Hmm?
Hey, look over there. Those two guys making with gestures. I think they're looking at us.
Seems they want to speak to us, huh? To one of us. Go ahead, Junior. You ask them what they want, hmm?
Listen, I'm not curious anyway. It's you they want, see?
Hmm. Well, I guess I better go, huh?
Yeah, if they get tough, don't worry about a thing. I'll be right here under the table. Buy a rug for me, Jeff. Well, Jeff went over to talk to the two guys. I couldn't hear what they said, but they all kept looking back at me and counting up on their fingers. First it was five fingers, then it was ten. Then they shook hands all around, and Jeff came back to the table.
Hi, Turkey.
Hey, what are you so happy about? Who are those guys, the local bookmakers?
A guy from... I'll check, please.
The check? You got money?
230 kolaks, please.
Here's 230 kolaks for the little snack, and five for you.
Well, come, let little Orville in on this deal. How'd you get the spinach, old boy?
The funny thing, a guy I never seen before in my life gives me 2,500 kolaks. That's 200 federal diplomas. Are you listening?
200 skins?
Mm-hmm.
Why, what for?
I told him something.
Well, you got nothing to sell. We already hocked your pivot tooth, and the Mayo Clinic refused my brain.
It wasn't much, but it was all I had, and was he anxious to get it.
What'd you sell him?
Orville, I want you to keep very calm now.
What did you tell him?
You.
Oh, well, for a minute.
Huh?
Sit down now. Sit down. Wait a minute. Get that guy and give him those fists back. What's the matter with you? You can't tell me. I'm not a horse. Just the way I comb my hair.
I know, Orville. You and I know you're not a horse, but these people are peculiar.
What are you talking about? You going nuts? Why would a guy buy a guy?
I don't know. They buy anything. Any old junk.
Well, why would he buy me? What does he want me for?
I didn't ask him.
Listen, do you know why they buy guys in a country like this? For slaves. They pick you, they hit you with whips. They put you to pick in Guayuli. They beat you.
Oh, they don't pick Guayuli here.
Well, they beat you for whatever they're picking.
Why don't you relax? Take it easy. I got this thing all figured out, see?
Yeah?
I got plans.
Don't tell me about plans. All I know is I'm being caught with mine down. I got the guy's address. I'm going to get you back, and when I do, we'll be $200 ahead. What's that, 10?
Well, that's something.
Certainly. Then 100, that's mine.
That's what I'm telling you.
Well, come on, flip it to me. Put me in a higher bracket.
No use giving it to you now. If anything goes wrong with my plans, why, the money be wasting.
If anything goes wrong?
Yes.
Well, I'm getting out of here, see? You might have saw me, see? But you're not going to deliver me, see?
Wait.
No, seriously.
I don't have to deliver you. They're coming to pick you up.
Coming to... What?
Yes.
Who do you think you're playing with, children? You're talking to Turkey, the man with the muscle.
We are ready, gentlemen.
Now, wait.
Take your seat, Abdul.
Now, listen.
So long, Orville.
I'll pick him up. Stop, wait, let go of me, let go, let... Well, the least you could do is wrap me as a gift.
Too bad. You know, if he'd been a foot taller, I could have got another 100. We
In just a few seconds, Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Ginny Simms will return in Act Two of The Road to Morocco. Now, here's a conversation overheard at a department store blouse counter.
What do you think, Mary? I love that yellow. It reminds me of daffodil.
The prestige drama programs of radio's first half-century formed an elite guard around the network studios. For on these shows, a Gregory Peck, a Susan Hayward, or Lana Turner would mingle with the radio regulars to lend star billing in exchange for unheard-of sums. There was the DuPont Cavalcade of America, Author's Playhouse from Philip Morris, and the Theater Guild of U.S. Steel. But none could match the Lux Radio Theater with host Cecil B. DeMille. On this April Monday in 1943, the program was in its ninth season, and this show earned an excellent rating of 27.
Just Sims on the Lux Radio. All right, it's a bargain. Let's make for the toilet good counter and get some Lux soap.
Now, our producer, Mr. DeMille.
Act Two of The Road to Morocco, starring Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Ginny Simms. Our story continues. The boys had just reached the point where Jeff Peters sold his cousin Orville for 2,500 collats.
Oh, what a deal I am. You ain't kidding, cousin. You're just a gremlin with ears.
Jeff, tell us, how did you feel after they took Orville away? Did you have a twinge of conscience?
Yes. Yes, I did. I couldn't get to sleep that night for almost 20 minutes. And then, like in a dream, I seemed to feel the presence of another party. It was not Lucy. She spoke to me.
Jeffrey. You must find Orville, Jeffrey.
Aunt Lucy.
You must find him at once. Bring him back.
Well, gee, Aunt Lucy, I don't even know where to look. The fella I sold him to was only a jobber. He resold him later and wrote off his loss.
Jeffrey, do you know you've turned out to be a regular stinker?
I guess you're right, Aunt Lucy.
Can't you tell me where he is, hmm?
Oh, I'm not supposed to, Jeffrey. It's against the rules.
Oh, gee. Come on, Aunt Lucy. Gee, come on, tell me.
Well, if you go to the marketplace, then head east about 200 paces, you'll come to... Oh, I can't talk to you anymore now, Jeffrey. Here comes Mr. Jordan.
Well, I went out to look for my cousin that night. There I was, walking through the streets of Catamese. All around me, strange sights and strange smells. But none of them was Orville. Suddenly a note fell at my feet, a note wrapped in a stone.
A stone wrapped in a note, and it wasn't meant to fall at your feet either.
I picked it up and I read, "Dear Jeff, flee for your life before it's too late. You can't do anything for me now. If you stick around, you'd only get us both into trouble, maybe killed. Say nothing to nobody about this. Flee, flee. Respectively yours, Turkey Peters. P.S. I am being tortured day and night. Flee, flee. F-L-E-A. Hmm? That's Turkey. That's him, all right. Don't worry, old boy. I won't let you down. I'll get you out, all right. There before me stood a palace, gleaming like ivory in the moonlight. And as I approached, I heard music and a woman's voice singing.
Constantly, and now you're here.
I made my way through the palace and at last found myself in a long tiled room. At all sides were Nubian slaves and dancing girls in dancing costumes, dancing. And on a mountain of pillows, a man in native costume lay reclining. I couldn't see his face, but a lovely girl was smothering shame and kisses. At last he stopped, the man sat up and said,
"Hey, somebody unbraid my toes, will you?"
Uh-huh, so this is where you are. Well, ain't this a pit?
Take it on the lamb, brother. We don't want any shoes today, beat it.
Who is this stranger?
Leave the country and forget you even knew me, he says. Flee, he says, flee. Why, you dirty double-crossing hoarder, you?
Take that man away. You're moving to my sight.
This princess, come, Lego, Lego. Come, Bertie, come on, tell him to lay off. This is me, your friend. This is old Jeff, Turkey, old buddy.
Turkey? Why did he call you Turkey?
Oh, the fellow is mad. Take him away. Toss him to the crocodiles. The ones who still have their teeth. That pepsodent is wonderful.
Wait. He's my friend, I tell you. Let me go.
Wait. Orville, do you know this man?
Why, I never saw him before in all my life.
Oh, you dirty, underhanded sickle snoot. We were kids together. We were in the same class for years. Till I got promoted.
Let him go. The stranger will stay.
Oh, but hon.
Come, stranger. Sit here beside me.
Well.
Now, Orville, I want you to tell me the truth. Do you know him?
Well, I used to, but I kind of outgrew him. I don't dally much with riffraff these days, and he's a pretty raffy kind of a riff.
Oh, yeah? What are you made up for, anyhow? What is this? Ladies' night in the Turkish bath or something? What time do you clean the pool?
Might interest you to know, Buster, that you're now looking at the future prince of Karamis.
Who?
I'm going to be a pastor with the accent on the past.
Yeah. Trouble is, you passed out about 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, the Princess Shama and me are going to be married on, when is the big day, dream thing?
When the moon in its last quarter silvers the blossoms of the almond tree. That's Tuesday night about 9.
Oh, what a pity. I should be listening to Hobby Lobby, I think. How can a dream like you really go for a drip like this, anyhow?
Well, it's written in the stars. I've been counseled by Haider Khan, the wise one, to take this man for my husband, and I must obey.
Well, old Haider Khan must have been reading last year's racing form or something.
Oh, is that so? Well, there's nothing you can do about it. See, I'm a Heathcliff. And believe me, I'm going to turn on the heat.
He bought me, see?
He bought you?
Certainly. You sold me to her for $200. Yeah, no mistakes rectified after leaving the window. I feel like a black market. But just to show you there's no hard feelings, I'm going to stick around for the wedding. I'll even give you away, pal.
Oh, now, just a second. You've already given me away. Come on, blow before I press a button and have your head served up in a cup and a saucer.
Now, wait, look out. Look, come on. Now, wait, cut out this shoving. Cut it out, see? There'll be a room full of teeth around here.
Yeah, and you're going to look awfully funny with your gums showing. You better get out of here. I might forget that I'm the prince.
Not with that Arabian antimacassar you got on there. Get the sleeves on this.
Let go. Why, you rip my sleeves. Do that again. You did it. Why, you do that again.
Gentlemen, please. What is your name?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey?
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey, I want you to stay here with me.
Well, I could be very happy here.
Could you, Jeffrey?
If he stays, I'm leaving. You heard? I'm leaving.
Now, you can stay as long as you want to, Jeffrey.
Sure, stick around. Nice to have you. I knew why Jeff wanted to stay. He was trying to move in on me. He wanted to be the prince. That evening, just before dinner, my ladies-in-waiting came in to comb my hair and arrange my turban. A turban that's a stuffed fascinator with feathers. I will never forget Miramar, my head lady-in-waiting, and I knew what she was waiting for. Me.
Orville, oh, prince.
Yes, Miramar?
Why is the princess going to marry you, Orville? She was to have married Millet Castle in the Desert Peak. Why'd you change your mind?
Oh, I guess sheets have gone out of style. What the modern girl wants is a nice, reliable wolf.
There's something very strange about it all. Something very, very strange.
Well, it's a strange country, baby. They got butter here.
Oh, dear, listen. If this were known, it would mean my death. But in my heart, there is a great love for you.
You too? Does everybody get this kind of treatment in Karamis, or have I got a free card?
Is my love hopeless? Or do you perhaps have some crumbs of affection for me?
Oh, you know how a prince is. Later on, I may set you up in a little hat shop or teach you how to siphon gas or something.
And because I love you, there is something I must tell you.
I'm all ears, haven't you noticed?
Listen. the princess is unfaithful. She cares nothing for you.
Don't be silly. Nobody throws away $200.
Look, at this very moment, she and your best friend are in each other's arms in the garden below.
Well, what?
Look, see them?
Why, the low-down, filthy, double-crossing centipede, why, the crawling lizard. I'll show them what a salami has got to go through.
No. Don't waste your anger upon them. Orville, I love you.
Hey, let go.
You and I, Vazu, will my love consume you?
The manufacturer, direct-to-consumer, I go.
Oh, beloved, kiss me.
Thus, and...
It goes with your head. You certainly know the right thing to wear. Moonlight becomes you. I'm thrilled at the sight, and I could get so romantic tonight. You're all dressed up to go dreaming. Now don't tell me I'm wrong. What a night to go dreaming. Mind if I tag along? If I say I love you, I want you to know. Not just because there's moonlight, although moonlight becomes you. Oh.
Hey, Princess, I want to ask you something. Supposing you sort of put off this wedding for a little bit, and I sort of hung around a little bit, and maybe learned a couple of choruses of black magic or something, and you got to grew to like me a little bit, and wouldn't that change things a little bit,
No, Jeffrey, it would not. I like you now. The more I get to like you, the more reason I'll have to marry Orville.
You like me, so you're going to marry Orville. Boy, that's a new kind of brush.
That is the way it must be.
But look at here now.
Listen, you may not see him. I must leave you.
But where's it?
No.
Where is he, this dog?
Hold your anger, Kathleen. Wait until you've heard.
I have already heard. You are planning to marry this American.
Yes, Kathleen, but it's only because...
Enough. Come, Ahmed. Let us find this jack.
No, wait. First, you must hear the words of Hyder Khan, the wise one. Padakan, tell him what the stars have said.
Oh, lion of the desert, it is here written that the first husband of the Princess Shalmar will die a violent death within a week of the marriage.
What is that you say?
It is also written that her second husband will be blessed with long life and happiness.
Now do you understand, Kasim? The American is my first husband will die within a week. And then I will be free to marry the man I love.
This is a great joke. Kiss me, Salma.
Thank you. I heard them say it, Olga. The princess's first husband will die within a week.
Miramar, that's ridiculous.
I tell you because I love you.
Listen, the wedding is all planned. I just spent my last 3 ration points for rice. But there were 2 fellows here just now measuring these as some sort of an outfit.
Measuring?
I guess they're the royal dressmakers.
No, my beloved, no. They are royal undertakers. They were measuring you for a coffin.
You mean a zoot suit with a wood hood?
Yes. If you marry her, you die.
Hiya, Turkey.
What's new in the pasture racket?
Yes. I'm glad you came in. Look, sit down. I got to have a talk with you.
Now, look, Orville, I've been doing a lot of thinking. There's no use of you and I talking or arguing anymore. I'm going to beat it on out of here.
No, that's it. You're not. You don't have to. Look, I'm the guy that's shoving off, and you're taking Shalmar. See, I'm giving it to you.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, what are you cooking up there? The last gal you gave me was that lady wrestler up at the St. Nicholas Rink. What's behind all this?
Well, I got to thinking about the burying. The marrying.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a hunch it wouldn't last. I got a feeling in a week I'd be cold. And besides, I got a girl, see? Hello, Miramar.
My sweet.
Nice. I met her at the harem right off the assembly line.
Nice model.
Yeah, and this is one I know won't be frozen for the duration.
He's going to fly with me. My love will consume him darkly and darkly and darkly.
You know, a girl can eat too much yeast, you know. Go away for a second, honey, will you?
Oh, this is a whole new shuffle, huh? You two. Well, wait till Shalmar hears about this.
Yeah, but it's not going to be easy to get Shalmar to give me up, you know.
Oh, Nasser's just going to tear the heart out of her. But she might settle. She might settle for me.
Yeah, well, that's the spirit, and I'll be right behind you.
Sure.
Well, so long.
My beloved, why don't we fly right away?
Look, high octane. Why don't you just fly around and warm your motor up? I'll join you later, huh?
Okay, I'll get a job tomorrow.
Orville, it's Aunt Lucy. Wake up.
Oh, Aunt Lucy?
Orville, how can you sleep after what you've done to Jeffrey? You've got to tell him the truth.
Oh, but I ain't doing nothing. Look what he did to me.
I insist that you tell him.
No.
You must.
I won't.
Orville, when you were a little boy and you said won't, do you remember what I did to you?
Well?
Well, there's still a little steam in the old wing.
Ow!
And the next time, I'll slap you in the face.
See, I don't know, Princess. This just doesn't add up. I want you, and you say you want me, and Orville says it's okay, and still you're going to marry him.
I told you, Jeffrey, it's something I can't explain. Orville and I are going to be married, and that's all I have to say.
Oh, Princess, oh, light of Caramine.
Well, how do you come?
Princess, listen and be merciful. I have made a calamitous error. You must not marry that American. You must marry Moulay Cassim.
Moulay Cassim?
See, I must hear everything.
Oh, Princess, when I read the stars in the heavens that night, I read them wrong.
How could you?
Princess, forgive me. A fly got in the telescope.
Then my husband will not die?
No.
Jeffrey, isn't it wonderful?
What's wonderful about it? It just means Turkey's back in circulation and you get tied up to Moulay Cassim.
Moulay Cassim?
Yeah.
Oh, Jeffrey, you may feel strange about marrying a princess, but I'll spend the rest of my life trying to live it down.
You mean me?
Yes.
Oh, how about this? Wait till I break the news to fatter than me. So that's why little Arthur was so anxious to hand you over to me, huh? Wait till I tell that boy.
Well, don't say anything to him right now, Jeffrey. Not just yet. We must make plans for departure before Moulay Cassim hears. Hazza, prepare a caravan. We will leave at once.
Listen, Jeff.
What's the matter?
Why don't you get some sense into that tail and just you and me blow, huh?
Well, we're going to the United States to get hooked up, I tell you. This character, Cassim, is trying to kidnap her.
Boy, what a sneaky way for Lockheed to get welded. Listen, Jeff. You're in a bad spot. That guy had a concept that drinks of his spread all over the world.
Oh, yeah? Let's see him mess around in Brooklyn.
Princess Moulay Cassim!
Oh, here comes Murdoch Incorporated.
Princess, he knows all!
Jeff and
Hyde! Too late. Where is he? Oh, that is your plan, running away with this dog.
Don't call me a dog.
Why not?
The Cocker Spaniels resent it.
Look, I'm not mixed up in this at all, Moulay. I just work here.
Do you lie to Cassim?
No, Moulay, settle down. It's a big switch now. I gave her up. I'm on your side. I'm your friend. They're ducking out on you, the dirty double-crossers. What do you think we ought to do with them?
What is this?
Nice going, Junior.
Silence! Who is this goat? This moon-faced son of a one-eyed donkey.
I wouldn't let him call me that, Jeff, even if there is a resemblance.
Listen here, big boy. Where do you come off cutting in here? Go on. Go play cops and robbers someplace else. Feed it, Scott, you.
Boy, now you're telling him to go on. Chop his teeth out. I'll hold your coat.
What?
Well, I'll hold your coat, too. In fact, I'll take it out and get a press.
Cousin, please, listen.
Quiet. Come here, donkey. You would dare oppose the will of Cassim?
Oppose your will? Why, you'll be right in one if you mess around with me, Jack.
Oh, now you're talking. Go ahead, take a poke at him. We're not afraid of him, are you?
Turn up! You're coming with me.
Who, me?
Both of you. Abdul, put them on horses. The princess also.
Now listen, friend. Look here, what's up? What do you think you're going to do?
Yeah, what about me? I'm innocent, I tell you. Well, Cassim will take care of you on the desert. You shall die slowly. Your ears shall be sliced off and dried on sticks. The buzzards will feast on your nose.
What?
That's 16 points right there.
We pause now for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You are listening to Same Time, Same Station, a chronicle of radio's first half-century. Tonight featuring the complete Lux Radio Theater program of April the 5th, 1943. This is KRLA, Pasadena.
After a brief intermission, Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Ginny Sims will bring us Act 3 of The Road to Morocco. Country Gardens is one of my favorite songs, Sally. And I know what made you think of it.
Of course you do. It's been 6 packets of flower seeds in my hand, Mr. Kennedy. I
the famous road pictures starring Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, and Dorothy L'Amour started with The Road to Singapore in 1940. Other roads for the trio led to Zanzibar in 41, Morocco in 42, Utopia in 1945, Rio in 1947, and finally Hong Kong in 1962. They all featured music and words by Sammy Kahn, Johnny Burke, and James Van Heusen, and were very good to Paramount at the box offices across the country. It stood to reason, then, that Lever Brothers should engage two of the three stars and add Ginny Sims for its Lux Radio Theater version of The Road to Morocco.
A wide border of zinnias and marigolds right around my Victory Vegetable Garden. And a window box, too, with lots of candy tufts and heavenly blue morning glory and marigolds.
News for a bed of those shirley poppies, Sally. They come in tones of scarlet and pink. And zinnias, too. These are the dahlia-flowered giant kind. And Christmas for sure. They bloom right till frost and make
fun. The familiar Monday night appearance of the Lux Radio Theater began on June 1st, 1936. The program was actually on Sunday afternoons for a while. When the broadcast occurred on April the 5th, 1943, the show had shifted from New York and Broadway to Hollywood, where it would stay on the air until June 6th, 1955.
If you wish. Be sure to wrap coins securely and write name and address plainly. No stamps, please. This offer is good only in the United States. Now, Mr. DeMille returns to the microphone.
Here's a curtain for the third act of The Road to Morocco, starring Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Jenny Sims. Our two heroes, Jeff and Orville Peters, are facing a horrible fate. You will remember that Jeff, instead of Orville, was supposed to marry Shalmar, because Miramar told Orville that Haider Khan told Shalmar that Muley Kassim, not Jeff, would die in Orville's place if Shalmar married Jeff and not Orville. Oh, what am I saying? If Jeff marries Shalmar and Muley Kassim marries Orville, Muley Kassim himself and not Shalmar will Jeff.
Wait a minute. You're a little confused, aren't you?
Well, it's a very confusing story, Mr. Peters.
Well, you got the whole thing balled up.
What's this Peters trouble?
There's a man here is gumming up the works. Bystander here.
Oh, yeah? Well, gentlemen, I'm the producer, you know.
Yes, you know. I tell you what to do, Bob. Just go over there and sit down.
What?
Go ahead, friend. Find a nice corner over there and lux your shot.
Just a minute.
Go ahead. Blow a few bubbles. Let's not argue with him. Let's pick up our soap and get out of here.
Yeah,
come on.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry.
It's all right, Bob. It's all right. It's nothing. Go ahead, Orville. Go right along.
Where were we before?
Yes. What is it? People walk in here and...
Oh, yeah. We're working in an alley. Muley Kassim. Muley Kassim had us bound hand and foot. They carried us out into the desert. And there they left us under the broiling sun. Our hands were chained behind our backs. Our legs were staked to the ground. Around our necks, they placed a 70-pound iron weight. A few hours later, we were walking across the desert toward a distant mirage.
Wait, you missed something there.
Yeah? What?
Those chains and stuff. How did we get out of them?
Oh, you think we ought to tell them?
No, they wouldn't believe it anyway.
Okay, let's not tell them. After all, does Macy tell Gimble?
No. Let's get on with this thing, huh? There we were, stumbling through the desert sand. The sun was beating down on us.
Yeah, fine pal you are, letting me give Shalmar up, and all the time you knew you weren't going to die.
Now, what did you do? You were going to let me marry her, because you thought I was going to get knocked off inside a week.
Listen, this is no time to argue. Hey, look up there in the sky. You know what they are, don't you? They're buzzards.
Yeah. They're carrying finger bowls, too.
Fine way to end up, a box lunch for a bird.
There's a switch, Junior. A bird getting you.
Hey, Dirty, take a look over there. Gee, a lot of tents stuck right out in the middle of the desert. What do you make of it?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. You see those guys? Those are Muley Kassim's gorillas.
Yep, and that joint must be their hideout.
Well, we've got to save the girls. It's up to us now, Turkey. We'll have to storm the place.
You storm. I'll stay here and drizzle.
Turkey, we got to get in there.
Hey. I've got something that can't miss.
So have they, guns. What have you got?
Listen, now get this. We go in disguise as a horse.
Yeah, that's a good... What?
A horse. We skin a horse, we get inside. Just think. I got 4 nags in the Kentucky Derby that way once.
Look, Bubbles, the only horse you ever had in a derby is that in the Brown Derby. And they went in as Filet Mignon. come on with me to find his horse here.
Okay. See, you wouldn't think it was possible, would you? Two guys inside a horse skin.
I bet we look like a real horse, eh? Hey, Turkey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine way back here. I feel like the tail gunner on a flying fortress.
Attaboy, keep walking now. We walk right past that guard. You see him?
I see him, yeah, but does he see us?
Sure. Thinks we're a horse, see? He's looking at us right now. He still thinks we're a horse.
No!
Did he get you?
Yeah, right where the plow should have been.
Come on, just whine who was hiding in that horse skin.
Well, there ain't nobody in here except just us horses.
Quick, Cassie, quick! It is the two swine.
Oh, you'll return once again, eh?
Oh, now wait, Mulay. We can explain
take
this.
Take them away. Take them to the guardhouse and bring me back their ears.
Come, old man. You're taking this meat shortage too seriously. Fine thing. First you sell me for $200, and I'm going to marry the princess. Then you cut in on me. Then we're carried off by a desert sheik. Now we're sitting behind bars waiting to have our heads chopped off.
I know all that.
Yeah, but the people who tune in the middle of the program don't.
You mean they miss my song?
Hey, God, who are those guys?
That's the great chief, Neb Jola, and his men.
Friend of Cassim?
No, the enemy of Cassim. For 10 years, there's been a war, but tonight Cassim has invited him to his wedding as a token of peace. Now be silent. I'll serve you.
You ought to take something for your throat.
Yes, Orville.
Shalmar, where are you?
Over here by the window, quick.
Shalmar, any word from the governor?
Listen. I got permission to bring food. In this bowl, you'll find native clothes and packing for your faces.
What good are native clothes? Why don't you bake us a nice cake with a landmine in it?
I've worked out a plan. It is complete except for one detail. Now, you put the clothes on, put black on your faces, and they'll take your Arabs.
Yeah, but how do we get out of this jail?
Oh, Jeff, that's the detail I haven't worked out.
Oh, grand.
Who's there?
The guard is coming. I must fly.
That's a great idea she's got.
What's going on here?
Oh, nothing. Say, has anybody ever escaped from this jail?
Once, about a year ago, two men got out.
Oh, yeah? Tell me, chum, how'd you do it?
It was an accident. To light a cigarette, I placed my rifle in the window like this.
Hello.
Oh, interesting. And then what happened?
One of the fellas reached through the window, grabbed the rifle, and pointed it at me.
Oh, you mean like this?
Exactly. Except that he put it right up against my head.
Oh, you mean like this?
Yes, and then...
Oh, stick him out and give us those keys.
Hurry, or we'll spread you, brother.
Oh, dear. I've done it again.
A few minutes later, two natives appeared outside the wedding party tent. Two figures muffled to the ears. Clark and Tyrone Peters. That's Turkey and me.
Look, Jeff, I don't get this. What's fine?
Well, I'm cooking up some small sabotage here. Mulay Cassim and Neb Jola are friendly tonight, but they're really enemies, right?
Right.
Now, here's the plan. We're natives, see, so listen. I think the plan is going to be...
What are you laughing at?
You're breathing down my neck.
You get the plan?
Oh, I get it. Divide and conquer. Brother against brother.
Yeah, come on.
Stop the music. Neb Jola, so great is my joy tonight that I wish to share it with you. May our tribes live together in peace for 1,000 years.
My hand on that, Cassim.
And you are fortunate indeed to win the love of so beautiful a princess. You cannot wait for my kisses upon her lips. Can you, my dove?
Cassim, you shall soon know how I feel about you.
Yeah? You hear?
Oh, Cassim, O Lion of the Desert.
Yes, Nebis, what is it?
Two native horsemen have arrived, O Lion. They beg entrance.
Send them in, Nebis. All are welcome tonight.
Enter, horsemen.
All greetings, O Sheik.
Greetings, O Lion of the Bands. We bring you felicitations on your wedding.
Welcome, friends. And from what tribe are you? Who is your master?
Master, he's the great Sheik, Bulbul Elbul Bulbul Benabene.
Spelled backwards, spells Benny the Bull. He says to congratulate you on our wedding to the beautiful Shalmar.
Greetings, O Shalmar.
Why, you know...
It's me.
What tongue is this?
These men speak a strange language, O Sheik. I learned it from one of their tribesmen.
From what country?
Okundray.
And you may tell your master that I accept his greetings. Tell him also that Mulay Cassim and Neb Jola are now brothers.
No!
Yes.
Great news, O Lion of the Desert.
Yes, great news. And will you forget, O Lion, that Neb Jola said you ought to have your mane clipped?
What? I never said it.
Well, it doesn't matter. That's all a thing of the past.
Certainly, drop it.
Like
drop
the
it.
Time Mullah Kassim called Jola a judge. Judge Jola, he said,
Your Highness. Never, Your Highness. If I thought that was true, my tribesmen here would tear your men into little bits.
Oh, now, don't fight, boys. There's nothing to get excited about.
Certainly not your brothers.
They're right, Neb Jola. There must be no shedding of blood. Please, my friend.
Very well.
I will forget it.
Sure, everything is forgotten tonight. Say, Neb Jola.
Oh, boy, will you ever forget the time you sneaked in a Moulay's hair?
What? My heavens, Neb Jola.
Will you believe this, swine?
You snake, you viper.
He's alive.
Here. Now, quiet, everybody. Sit down, Moulay. Sit down, Neb. What's the matter with you guys?
Sure, it's all in fun.
Very well, but no more insults.
Your Highness, my word.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, now we are friends again. It is good. What does it matter if once you were enemies? Tonight, Moulay Kassim and Neb... Oh! Why, Neb Jola, you pinched me.
What? You swine? Besides, I never pinched
you. Well, somebody did.
This is a finish.
Now, boys, don't shoot each other. Don't shoot.
No, use your knife.
That's the story. We escaped during the brawl, and we reached the coast by camelback.
Then a boat to Lisbon, and then home to Brooklyn, and here we are.
Gentlemen, that's one of the greatest adventure stories I've ever heard. And the girls? I suppose you married them.
The girls? Turkey, the girls.
What's the matter?
The girls, Shalmar and Miramar.
Well, what about them? Where are they?
Well, you ought to know. I gave them to you.
You did not. I was taking care of the tickets.
Don't say that. Right there in the dock in Morocco. I said, here's the girls. I'll take the baggage.
Well, how did I know what bags you meant?
Turkey, I bet they're standing there on that dock now.
Yeah, well, what are we waiting for? Come on.
Well, come on.
Gentlemen, come back.
Anyway,
hey, which way is the road to Morocco?
Right now, Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Jimmy Sims are on the road to a curtain call. Every night when the good little producers of Hollywood go to sleep, they lie there and dream of casts like this.
Yeah, then they wake up in the morning, go downstairs and bite their children.
No way to talk about Jenny Sims.
Ah, yes, Jenny Sims. Jenny, who do you think is more romantic, Bing or me?
Well, let's see. There's Bing's voice.
In my profile.
Then there's your clothes, Bob.
Have you seen Crosby's? I mean, when he has the coat plugged in. You may not think I'm handsome, but CB does, right? You know, he tested me for Reach the Wild Wind.
Smart producer. You flunked, huh?
I was sorry to turn Bob down, but he just wasn't believable.
Yeah, Squid's got to have more than two arms.
We usually do till the check arrives.
Bing, these golf matches you and Bob play for the Red Cross and other charities, who wins most of them?
It's a lie.
How did you know what I was going to say?
Well, I figured you were going to tell the truth.
How about hitting a few tomorrow? You want to play?
Okay.
See, Bob, Bing really likes golf, doesn't he?
Why not? After all, he raises his own caddy.
Me that one.
Short mad, that boy.
Mr. DeMille, it's been swell being here. And before we say goodnight, I'd like to tell you that I've been using your Lux soap for a long time now, and I like everything about it. So does my skin.
What do you think about Lux soap as a page one item or less, Jimmy?
Hey, what do you figure you'll try out here next week, CB?
An exciting adventure story, Bing. The RKO hit Once Upon a Honeymoon. And our stars will be Claudette Colbert and Brian Ahern.
Let's see. Yes, I'll be listening, CB. None of my pictures are playing anywhere next Monday. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. And don't forget to load the Lux Radio Theater. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents Claudette Colbert and Brian Ahern in Once Upon a Honeymoon. This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Bing Crosby was heard tonight with the courtesy of the Kraft Cheese Company, his next Paramount picture is Dixie. Bob Hope appeared through the courtesy of the Pepsodent Company. And